choosing to come worship here with us this morning on this Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, which is also the fourth Sunday of Advent. And this morning we're going to be looking again, as we have been throughout, through the themes of Advent. And this morning we'll be looking actually at the themes of the fourth and the fifth candle of love and Jesus being the light of the world. And so as we've done throughout this series here this month, we're going to look at how the Christmas narrative that we have given to us in Scripture embodies these themes and how Jesus is God's message from heaven about the reality of each of these themes. And so we started off at the beginning with hope, and we looked at how the coming of John the Baptist was a message of hope, both for John's parents and that he functioned, he lived as a messenger of the hope that was coming in Jesus. And then we looked at peace, and we looked at the message of peace that God gave to Mary and Joseph in their situation, and how through that message of peace, he told them about the coming of the peace of the world, and how God was going to make peace with humanity through sending Jesus to die for our sins. And then last week we looked at the theme of joy, how God gave joy, a message of joy, to the shepherds and to the Magi. And he showed them that the ultimate reason for joy, the fact that the Emmanuel, the God with us, had been born into the world. And now this morning on Christmas Eve, we're going to examine again these themes of love and Jesus being the light of the world. And so first, we'll focus on this theme of love. And so we already heard from the Cox family this morning how Scripture defines love for us. It's a caring commitment in which affection and delight are shown to others through both our words and our actions. And it's grounded, we know it's grounded in the nature of God, in His words and His actions. In fact, it might be better to say that it emanates, it has its origins in the nature of God, because God is love. And finally, what we see in Scripture is that love is perfectly expressed and is perfectly experienced in the life and the ministry and the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at how specifically the message of the birth of Jesus, the advent, again, of the Messiah, is a message of love, both to those involved in the narrative and to the entire world. And what's going to be different, though, about this message is in comparison to the other ones is this, is that this message of love, we're going to see that even the announcement of Jesus' birth, God is giving a message of love not just to the people who are involved in the story itself, but to everyone, because actually we are all a part of this narrative this morning. We're all actors. We're all play a part because we all participate in and experience the love of Jesus' advent. In all parts, Jesus, God's message of love, it was directly given to everyone in the world. And everyone can experience and should experience the love of God through this message. And so first, let's look at the message of Jesus' birth, which is celebrated throughout the world this morning and tomorrow on Christmas as well. And this narrative is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So if you haven't already, why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, and I'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 7 this morning. Starting in verse 1, we read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. So I'm sure that we're all very familiar with this story, with this narrative. We know that God sent his son Jesus to be born into the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's fairly common knowledge, and it's a very familiar story to many people. But sometimes I think we tend to forget, because we are so familiar with it, just how awesome this truly was. Especially since, you know, we don't know God fully, and we have no real conception of what it's like to be God, and as a result, we tend to forget just how radical this was, just how selfless and sacrificial this experience was for Jesus. I mean, think about it for a second. God, the creator and ruler of the universe, he chooses to send himself in the form of his son Jesus to the very world he created to live as a human being. Paul talks about this in his letter to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, what we don't understand, we have such a hard time conceiving, is that Jesus willingly set aside so much of the prerogatives of his deity, his right to rule over, to be honored and be worshipped by his creation. And he did so to become a man. While still being fully God, Jesus laid aside this right to direct rule, this full enjoyment of his divinity, in order to become a created thing. And not just that, but he was born in a very humble position. The story even tells us, think about this, one of the first things that Jesus experienced as a human being was being placed in an animal feeding trough, most likely in a cave that was full of years, if not centuries, of dirt and grime and, really, not to be crude, but all of the other filth associated with animals. It probably stunk. It wasn't clean. And it certainly in no way could compare to the glory and the splendor just a few miles away in the temple or in Herod's palace. Let alone, how could it compare to God's throne room in heaven, where he'd been just a moment before? He went from the throne room of heaven to being placed in a manger. But he was willing to do this. Jesus was willing to be sent to do this, to be born into the world. We know this and we celebrate this for the Christmas season. So what we have to figure out this morning, what we have to understand, what we're looking for, is why was he willing to do this? Why was Jesus willing to give up so much, to take on the nature of a servant, to come to the earth and be born in the most humble form possible, a newborn baby, born literally in the filth, in the muck of the world? Well, God tells us this reason throughout his word, in Scripture, in the prophecies even of the Old Testament. In Zephaniah, for example, we see one of the clearest explanations of God's motivation in sending the Messiah, his son. In Zephaniah 3, 14 through 17, it says this, "Sing, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.'" And we see here, not just here, but throughout Scripture, we see here one of the main reasons why God sent Jesus, the reason why Jesus wanted to be sent, was love. Specifically, his love for us. And see, that's what Advent is. It's an announcement of God's love to the whole world because Jesus' advent was motivated by his love for us. It says God delights, he rejoices over, he loves his people, and he sent his son as an expression of that love and that joy and that delight. So we need never fear again. God loves us. And he wants us to know that he loves us. And so he sent his son, Jesus, as an expression of that love. But in Jesus, see, we have so much more than a message, so much more than just words. The Advent is more than just the words of God coming through the mouth of a prophet. In Jesus, what we see, what we experience, is the very Word of God incarnated, come to the earth, made flesh. In Jesus, you see, we directly experience the love of God, not just in words, but relationally, because the Word of God became a person. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. This is why he's called the Emmanuel, because he left heaven to come be among us. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then in Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that's why God's message of love is so unique. It's so special. It's so infinitely powerful. It's because of this that he came and he dwelt among us. See, unlike any other religion in the world, unlike what the world thinks that a God should be or should do, our God came to live with us. He's not cold and aloof and distant. He's not a disinterested observer. He's not like that watchmaker who winds the watch and just sets it to go on its own. Now, our Jesus, our God is Emmanuel, and he is love, and he came to be with us precisely because he loves us. John says this in 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his own one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. See, God's love is not a love of just word. It's a love of word and deed. It's truly love because it's expressed in his action in the Advent that we celebrate this morning. Jesus, he gave up the glory and the pleasure and the honor of heaven, enjoying being in the presence of the Father and the Spirit, being rightly worshipped by the angelic hosts in heaven. He gave all of that up to come be with us and among us because he loves us. And the best way he could possibly show that love is for him to do this. So we know that God is love, and we know that Jesus is a message of love to the world, but what we still need to understand is why? Why was it necessary for Jesus to come in the flesh, to be Emmanuel, to be God with us? Why is this a message of love? Why does John describe it this way, in which we know that God loves us? The question, why is the Advent necessary? Well, that ties into the final theme of Advent that we'd celebrate tomorrow on the day of Christmas. Because you see, Jesus came, he became Emmanuel, God with us, to be the light of the world. His Advent is the supreme, the highest act of love by which all other expressions of love are judged, because in his advent, he is the light to the world, to all of humanity. We read this earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, question, what does light do? What does light do? It illuminates, right? It makes things visible. And what we're doing here is we're celebrating that Jesus is this light of the world, because this is what he does. Being the light of the world means that Jesus illuminates. He makes visible something that we did not see before. And that something is God. See, Jesus is the light of the world. He makes God, the Father, visible for us. He illuminates, he directs, he points the way to the Father. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, this morning, what we know is that when you look at Jesus, when you experience relationship with Jesus, you see and you experience relationship with the Father, because Jesus makes the Father visible. He displays God, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual one. In seeing Jesus, we see God. And this morning, that is what we celebrate in Jesus' advent. It makes the extent, the overwhelming abundance, the generous, gracious, infinite nature of God's love visible for us. Not by pointing it out, not by teaching about it. He makes it visible by embodying it, by putting it on and displaying it for all the world to see. Jesus being the Emmanuel means God's love came and dwelt with us. God's love in the form of a person who showed that love by doing the most loving thing he could possibly do, dying in our place. Jesus says this in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And see, Jesus' love was proven to be real in his actions on the cross, by dying for us. His death has infinite consequence, because Jesus didn't die for us just in a physical sense. It's not like he just stepped in front of a bullet for us or something like that. Now see, Jesus came and he lived and he died for us so that we could see and experience God's love in salvation. And that's ultimately what we're celebrating. Jesus' advent, his being love, his being the light of the world, is what makes God's perfect love and salvation possible for us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then, for God so loved the world that he gave his own, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I've heard it said that everyone desires love. Everyone desires love. And the kind of love that we truly desire in our heart of hearts is to be fully known to the depths of who we are, both the good and the bad, everything about us, and to still be accepted and cared for by that other person. To be fully known and loved in that knowing, so that we don't have to try to hide who we are or clean up our act or be on our best behavior for the other person. Like, if you've ever, gentlemen especially, if you've ever been on a date in your life, you're usually on your best behavior. Well, see, This is the kind of love that God offers to us in Jesus. Jesus does know us completely. He knows us fully, intimately, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stuff you bury down so deep and you hope that no one ever sees. Not your spouse, not even your best friend, no one. You don't want them to find out about it. Jesus already knows all of this. Psalm 139:13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Jesus already knows us. And you know what? He still chose to die for us. And this is the message of love that Jesus' advent came to give to the whole world, because God loves the whole world. There's never been a single person God created that he did not love. And there's never been a single person for whom Jesus did not advent, come into the world to make that love available. And so finally this morning, what we need to understand about the advent is that it was so necessary. Not because God is incapable of communicating his love, but because we can't understand it fully until we experience it through Christ. See, the advent is necessary because of our limitations, because we can't comprehend God and his love and his mercy and his grace without Jesus being a man. We don't understand God. And what we don't understand, what do we usually do? We fear it. We avoid it. We run away from it. Jesus was sent so that we no longer need to fear God out of our own ignorance. The advent made God knowable, at least in part to us. He came. He took on human flesh so we could hear, so we could see, so we could know and have relationship with someone who is relatable, someone who we could see and hear and experience with our senses. And this is the greatest expression of love possible, because it shows that God truly does meet us where we are. He knows us in the fullness of ourselves, both the good and the bad. And he still loves us. And he offers us a way to forgiveness, to new life, to be transformed into something new and better. He doesn't reject us because we don't know him fully. He doesn't reject us because we're incapable of knowing him. No, he makes himself known by taking on flesh, taking the form of a man, so we can know him. He makes the way, he shows the love, the peace, the hope, and the joy by coming to be the light of the world. So this morning, I'd like to finish our time here by reading my favorite parable about Christmas and the Advent. If you were here last Christmas Eve, you heard it then. If you're here next Christmas, God willing, you'll hear it again. It's a parable that explains, not perfectly, but it illustrates how God made the message of salvation. He made his love for humanity understandable through the Advent. It's called the Parable of the Birds. And it goes like this. Now the man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. He was generous to his family and upright in his dealings with other men. But he just didn't believe all that stuff about God becoming a man, which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, and they would much rather just stay at home. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after, the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. Then he went back to his fireside chair to read his newspaper. And minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Then another and another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must have been throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and in a desperate search for shelter had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. And so quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light, but the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them, so he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs, and sprinkled them on the snow. He made a trail to the brightly lit, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap helplessly in the snow. And so he tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them and waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction, except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Any move he made tended to frighten and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. And at that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. Now I understand, he whispered. Now I see why you had to do it. This is what the Apostle John means when he writes this. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus, if you haven't experienced salvation that I've spoken about this morning, then please, I encourage you, listen to what I say. Salvation, it's offered and it's available to everyone. God's offer of salvation, the message of hope and peace and joy and love, the light of the world is available to everyone. Jesus advented. He came so that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. It's not about us. It's not about what we've done or what we're capable of. It's not about cleaning yourself up, getting yourself right with God. It's a gift. It's a gift. That's why we give gifts on Christmas. It's a gift that simply needs to be received in faith. And so if you're interested in this relationship, in this love that God offers, if this is something that you may desire in your own life, you simply need to receive it, ask for it, confess, repent, believe. Confess you're a sinner, repent of your sins, and believe that Jesus advented. He came and he died so that your sins could be forgiven and that you could be saved. It says this in Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so, in this season of Advent, in this message of love that God, that we have in Jesus, I would encourage you, if you don't know him, to do that. Right now in your heart, confess, repent, and believe. Believe that he came into the world for this very purpose. It's the reason for the season, to offer hope and peace and joy and love and light. See, Jesus is all of this, and he freely offers all of that to anyone and everyone who would call upon his name and ask. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your advent, for the love that you have shown the world, the love that you have for us, the love that the Father has for us. You came to make that love known to us, to be experienced. You came so that we need no longer fear or be afraid or run away from that which we don't understand. You came to make God known to us by being the light of the world and pointing us all to that love. And so, God, we thank you for sending your Son to do this. Jesus, we thank you for coming. And God, I pray that for each and every one of us here this morning, that as we go from this place, as we go to visit family and friends, as we make plans for Christmas dinner, for presents, for all of that, that throughout all of those activities, your love would be intertwined, wound in and amongst it all. That everything that we say and do would be a celebration of your love. That all of these presents and all of this time with family and the good food would all remind us of the infinite love that you have for us, that you displayed and gave to us when you advented, when you came to be the Emmanuel, the God with us. As always, we are thankful, so thankful that you were willing to do this. May we glorify and worship you for the great and good and loving God that you are. So, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.